Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As you know, if you've been listening, we've been looking together at John's Gospel, the first chapter in verse 29, and the title and mission John the Baptist gives Jesus: the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So that we will more easily understand what the Baptist is saying here, what his witness testimony actually means, I broke down the sentence into three parts. Part one is sin of the world, part two is Lamb of God, and part three is takes away. We've already covered parts one and two, and today we come to part three. Now, if we read the two words takes away on their own, they make no sense. So remember what we are talking about here. Jesus is the one doing that taking away. And what is he taking away? He's taking away sin. And who is he taking the sin away from? The world. So can we say that Jesus Christ saves all people in the whole world from their sin, and therefore all people go to heaven when they die? Does John the Baptist mean there is a universal salvation for everyone in the world? Sin is what keeps a man and a woman out of heaven, out of God's perfect presence, unless Jesus forgives us of sin and thereby removes sin from us. And the question is, does Jesus do this for everyone? And the answer is no. Clearly, not everyone has their sin taken away. Not everyone is forgiven of their sin. There is no universal salvation. We have already discussed this, so I do not want to belabor the point. We do have new listeners all the time, so let me give you this reminder. The Lord's sacrificial and atoning death for sins is sufficient for everyone, everywhere, in the whole world who sins. As John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Having said that, we must also be careful to say that Christ's death on the cross is efficacious only to those who, by saving faith, believe in him. By efficacious, we mean that which produces the desired result, that which is effective. Catch this in John 3:16. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. The implication is those who do not believe will perish. Jesus only takes away the sin of persons who believe in him by faith. Jesus does not take away the sin of persons who do not believe in him by faith. John the Baptist is not saying that the Lamb of God takes away the sin of everyone in the world. What he is saying is that the Lamb of God takes away the sin of everyone who believes in Christ. All of those people in the world. Jesus is the Lamb of God, and his death is sufficient for everyone, for all sinners in the world. But his death only applies to those who believe in Christ to take away their sins. If a person rejects the taking away of sin that Jesus offers through his death on the cross and resurrection from the grave, then that person remains a sinner. And God will judge him and her to spend an eternity separate from God in what the Bible calls hell. The Bible says there is heaven and there is hell, and no one comes to God in heaven except through Jesus Christ. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So the only way to God is through his Son Jesus. And I want to urge you today to believe in Jesus, to ask Jesus for his mercy and grace in your life by confessing, telling him about your sins, and genuinely saying, "Forgive me, Lord." Do not delay. Do not wait. Do not miss this opportunity you have for redemption from your sin. And as Jesus also said so clearly in John chapter 8 and verse 24, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Well, truer words were never spoken. John chapter 8 and verse 24. I am reminded here also of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. This is very sobering. "It is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." God is very clear. When we die, we face judgment. I pray wholeheartedly that you will embrace Christ as your Savior this day, so that you will not be condemned to an eternal separation from God at the judgment, because Christ has taken away your sins. Please heed the words of John the Baptist, of Jesus himself, and of the prevailing message of all of the Bible. Sincerely and genuinely ask God to forgive you. The Bible promises that through Christ, he will. That's review, but important to set in our minds. Now, especially for those of us who are Christians, who belong to Christ, having invested our faith in him, I want to raise an interesting question. Where did our sin go? The Lord takes away our sin, but what does he do with it? Where does he take it? If you think of your sin like trash, and garbage is a great analogy for all sin, and the trash collector comes and gets it, where does God take all the sin that he forgives? And if you are like me, there are lots of sins to take away. Sin is not a small matter in our lives as human beings. Have you ever wondered that? This is a logical question, right? I am not being illogical by asking this. But to answer this succinctly, I want to turn back to a Puritan theologian and preacher, Thomas Goodwin. He lived from 1600 to 1680, and during his remarkable life, he wrote prolifically, as so many of the Puritans did. I own his 12-volume work by the obvious title, The Works of Thomas Goodwin. Reformation Heritage Books has published these, and they've done a superb job presenting them in a hardcover-bound edition. These are thick in theology. Each volume goes for hundreds of pages, and in this volume before me, Volume 4, Goodwin writes about Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension in a captivating way. He gives insights I have never heard before, including from other Puritans. What I want to share with you in answer to our question comes from Goodwin's treatise, Christ Set Forth. Before I start quoting from him, let me inform you that Goodwin establishes in the minds of his readers that Christ was made sin for us. His text is one we refer to often, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. He then says that Christ is our surety. And by surety, he means Jesus has taken responsibility for us before God. Jesus paid our sin debt to God. If there is a man who has a debt he cannot pay, and I am his surety, that means I take responsibility for that man before the creditor. I pay the man's debt on his behalf. Likewise, as sinners, we all have a debt to pay God. We are the debtor, God is the creditor. Jesus is our surety. He pays our debts on our behalf in his death on the cross. Thomas Goodwin then writes, quote, "As your surety, Christ undertook to satisfy for sin, and accordingly been once made sin when on earth, and arrested for it by God at his death. End quote. I trust this is clear thus far. This is 17th century English, so we need to make sure we are tracking with him. Our sin was transferred to Christ. Christ became sin for us. He had no sin of his own, remember. He only carries our sin. Jesus is our surety. Having established this, Goodwin then asks, we would be extremely solicitous to know how Christ got clear of that engagement, of being made sin for us. In other words, we really want to know what happened to our sin that Christ took away from us. How did Christ get clear of that engagement? How did Christ get rid of our sin? As I asked earlier, where did our sin go? What happened to it? A 17th century Christian had the same question this 21st century Christian has. Goodwin develops the answer this way. He begins by showing us in the Bible that all of our sin is taken away from Christ. Certainly, Christ no longer carries it. His text is Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. Let me read this for us at least to get it on our minds. We will be circling back to this next time. Hebrews is an essential book to understand whenever we talk about Christ and sin. And here we read, Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him. Well, this is an awesome, awesome verse. When Christ appears a second time, that is, at his second coming, he will not appear with sin. This biblical fact assures us that our sins have truly been taken away. And we will develop this further when you join me and all these other listeners as we continue to discover who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.